We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Good morning. I'm Ed Cox, chairman of the New York State Republican Committee. And this is Nick Langworthy, who is the chairman of the Erie County Committee and the presumptive chairman of the party going forward after our reorganization. I am somehow attracted to the presidential elections. My first one was my father-in-law's President Nixon's in the 60s, and that was the greatest comeback ever. My last one was with candidate Trump, and that was the greatest upset ever. I look forward to the president's reelection in 2020, which I think is going to be a realignment election, something that my father-in-law looked forward to way back when, where you bring the Southern Democrats together with the Northern ethnics, as we call them. They call them the Reagan Democrats. For my father-in-law, they came in and voted for him in 72. They voted for Reagan as Reagan Democrats in 84, but they went back to being Democrats because our president has reached out to them during his campaign and went beyond and changed Republican dogma on certain issues and spoke to the language they can understand. My father-in-law brought in the Southern Democrats. I think this president can bring in those Democratic voters and realign the party system into being where the Republican Party will be the majority party in the United States. I look forward to being a part of that campaign on an ongoing basis. With respect to the New York State, and what we're doing here, we've got real opportunities coming up in November. We have incumbent county execs in Monroe County and in Dutchess County. Get them reelected, and we got some real opportunities. County exec, great candidate, Lynn Dixon, in Erie County. We got John Kennedy, the controller, who's running for county exec in Suffolk County. These are real opportunities on an ongoing basis. With respect to 2020, we have some real opportunities. Obviously, picking up congressional seats with a very strong presidential reelection, and picking up also assembly seats. We actually picked up a net two last November. With respect to the state Senate, most important elections coming up in 2020 to get a majority there. As you know, we lost a majority in 08. We won it back again in 2010. We lost it again in 2012. We got it back, the absolute majority, in 2014. 2016 was the first time in a long time in the present election when we actually held on to a majority. And then we lost it in 2018. So getting back that majority is going to be a very important role for the state party, working together on a new basis with the Senate Campaign Committee. But let's, Chairman Langworthy, why don't you go ahead and talk about your vision for the party in New York State.
Well, absolutely.
And what you're looking forward to.
And Mr. Chairman, thank you for your gracious welcome here at the headquarters today. And I'm excited about your new role with the Trump Victory Finance team. I mean, there is no more important election in 2020 than the reelection of our president, Donald Trump. And you're going to be a tremendous asset to that team as they build the apparatus in place to raise the funds to get the president's message out. And I thank you for everything that you have done these last 10 years as chairman of this state Republican Party. We have a party that has invested in the county parties. It has, put wins on the board, really looking right down to the local level, which that focus had not been there before Ed Cox became chairman of our state party. And I thank you for your dedication, your time, your energy, your personal resources has been invaluable to us, I know, as county leaders. So thank you. It's an exciting time. I think we are going to show a renewed fighting spirit in a Republican Party here as we move forward after this reorganization. I'm very excited about working with our legislative team. You know, obviously we had a tremendous setback in 2018, and it's time for us to rebuild, retool, and revitalize the Republican Party across the state of New York, and having a 62-county strategy to do that. We lost this majority in one election. I think we can gain this majority back in one election. I look forward to working with Leader Flanagan and the team over at the Capitol to get the ball rolling on capturing that majority and recruiting the right candidates to go take those seats back in the Senate. And I've had tremendous partnership and the greatest admiration for our Assembly Minority Leader, Brian Kolb. And we're going to increase our ranks in that state assembly. But, beyond 2020, you know, my mission and goal is to get us to the point where a Republican occupies the second floor of the state capitol. And that will be our mission critical to put the infrastructure in place across this state in order to win a statewide election and put the Republican Party back in the win column there for the first time since 2002. But at this point, I'm eager to take any questions you might have for me.
Well, what would you say is your biggest challenge in growing the party at this point? Is it fundraising? Is it trying to boost enrollment? And as somebody from Western New York, you don't necessarily have the same kind of fundraising base that Chairman Cox had. Just what's your challenge there?
No, I have traveled every region of this state, as you know, from the beginning of this year. Our greatest challenge as a party is enrollment, and we need to register new voters. We are going to tackle the issue of voter registration in the state of New York. There's so many things that have to be done as a minority party in enrollment in a state that it's the one that easily gets set behind. We are going to go across this country and find the best practices on voter registration and bring them to this state of New York. It has to be done. We're going to close this gap, and it's something that's going to take everyone's help to do. I'm from Buffalo, but I'm not afraid to get in the car and travel, as I've proven in this. I will be spending tremendous amounts of time in New York City, and Ed Cox has put an amazing foundation in place of fundraising. I'm looking forward to working with some of the finance leaders that are in place and helping to build on that and recruit new people to get involved. But small dollar contributors are critically important to our efforts to build this party as well, because I believe that Cuomo's electioneering panel will thrust public financing upon us.
So I'm just going to ask how you get younger people involved. As you know, most of them are less socially conservative than the party is becoming, especially with all the attention on the abortion issues and the state legislatures, outlawing abortion. Like, how do you get people to say, no, we're for the young people?
Well, my election will represent generational change for our party. I was the youngest person ever elected chairman in Erie County. I'll be the youngest state chairman in our history. I think that as I've traveled across the state, we have a wonderful nucleus of young elected officials and party leaders. We are going to continue to recruit them because it's important for the Republican Party to show a face that's based on the electorate. And it's no disrespect to people that are elder, but we have to build towards the future. But you bring up the issue of abortion. I will say one of the most critical things that we have had people, coming and enrolling in our party is because of the legalization of partial birth abortion that the legislature slammed through and then celebrated by lighting up the Empire State Building pink. I think there are Democrats that have been appalled by that, and there are people walking away from their party because they're disgusted that that was celebrated.
Nick, what do you think the big issues that you're going to be able to build on are? You just mentioned abortion, but if you're making the case to a voter, maybe someone who's been, as you described them, a northern ethnic, to go, who's been voting for Cuomo or voting for Democrats, to be Republican, what are your three big issues to get them to your side?
Well, the biggest issue is we're going to have a party that's faced upon taxpayers and respecting taxpayers, because New York state government sorely misses the mark there. That has been our secret to success in Erie County. We've won in a county where we're down 2-1 in enrollment. We've obviously had to get a lot of crossover votes to win 8 out of our last 10 countywide offices. But our candidates talk about taxpayers and respecting the people that are actually paying the bills in this state. To have such a bloated state government, $175 billion budget, Andrew Cuomo telling everyone he's cut their taxes and no one feels that. I mean, our property taxes are absurd. The policies that are dumping down on people, especially in upstate New York, we are going to expand our electorate through that by talking about how the regulatory environment and increases in taxes and fees are driving away opportunities for our kids and our grandkids to stay in this state.
Chairman Cox, when you were when you put out your statement, you said that ensuring President Trump's re-election is the most critical task at hand, but it would seem that getting New York State back into Republican hands would be the most critical.
New York State
task.
Can play a role in re-electing President Trump. But we certainly had played a role in it in 2016, and we can play it in 2020.
I didn't finish my question. Yep. I was going to ask you, well, were you just tired of all the morass that's been in the Republican Party in New York State, and you needed to have a fresh start for yourself?
No. Look, let me just say, and this is with respect to fundraising and everything else, the party is unified, and we are passing the baton to a very vigorous new chair who's going to really reignite the party from the base up. He certainly has got a lot of strength in the base of the party
with respect to
fundraising, things like that. And also, for the first time in the history of the state Senate, they are moving into this building here. They are going to be putting their data for the first time, sharing and putting into the RNC data bank together, assembly data, our data. Big data is a big deal. We are unified as a party with respect to former chair, the new chair, with respect to the Senate and the assembly staffs working together. With respect to the president and helping him, New York is not a swing state, and we have to focus on what we can do here. On the other hand, we have found that there are things that we can do in New York State that are very helpful. We discussed it with Chris Carr, who is the political director of the Trump Victory Campaign. He is political director of the RNC campaign. We actually put together a diversity training, all the minorities in the New York City area in 2015 to get ready for 2016. And they showed up with all their supporters at Trump Tower when Trump was a candidate, had to show diversity. They were there. This is New York helping a presidential candidate. Now it's a different, he's president now, it's a different kind of campaign. Fundraising is going to be very important. But the fundraising that we will be doing for the president, that I will be working on for the president of New York City, can also help the party and with respect to
John.
John,
we're moving on.
Nick, closing the enrollment gap, I mean, that's a long-term goal. What's something short-term and attainable goal that you're going to be trying to lead the party through?
This is a 2019. It's a local election year. All politics is local. I'm a firm believer in that. As someone that spent 9 years as a county chairman in a tough political environment in a place where, you know, I'm down 135,000 votes in enrollment, I know what goes into those tough local wins. And, you know, we're going to be working with each of our 62 county leaders to put resources, staff resources, data resources in to put wins on the board in 2019. Nationally, you see in a poll last week, the congressional generic ballot is plus two Republican. There is a new wind blowing. I think this is going to be a solid Republican year, 2019. It sets the foundation for wins in 2020. So all of politics is local. We'll be focused very heavily on local campaigns.
We're looking at a year ahead here, 2020. Mm-hmm. Talk about how important it is to get that majority back. Which seats are you looking at? You lost up here 19 and 22 with Faso and Tenney. How do you think those current representatives are doing now? And do you think they're vulnerable in Delgado?
I think anyone, you know, that's following Nancy Pelosi around and with the climate of AOC is vulnerable. And in every race that we lost last time, we're going to go right back at. I think that we can gain those seats back, just like I think we can gain Senate seats back.
Yes. Given that in 2018, when the Democrats won and took over the state Senate, it was a blue wave year. It was seen as a reaction to Trump, and Trump will be at the top of the ticket in 2020. How do you foresee taking back the Senate, given that those circumstances?
I think that you've got to look at the economy and what is allowed. This is going to be a pocketbook election, and the Trump economy is on fire. And even even some parts of upstate are enjoying this despite, you know, Andrew Cuomo's, lockdown on our economy. And they've chased away, Albany has chased away transformational economic opportunities that, you know, New York should be relishing in right now. The president is going to be much more popular than people think. There are members of Congress that I think made the wrong decision when they ran away from the president after they were elected, and they didn't realize that the president was the reason they won those elections in the first place.
I just want to ask you a quick question. The media has been portraying this as, you know, you pushed out Chairman Cox. Could you correct that image?
I didn't read any media articles that said I pushed out Ed Cox. We had a spirited conversation around the state. We had a party leadership election. We're standing here united today and talking about moving forward together. And that's what this party's doing.
Nick, closer to home for you, there's a congressional primary that's potentially getting underway with Chris Collins, Chris Jacobs, potentially even Mr. Michael Caputo is considering running. Just what do you make of that seat right now?
It's a dark red seat. People are attracted to the opportunity to serve in Congress. I think we're going to see more names before it's over with. Mr. Collins has got to decide his future, whether he runs for re-election or not. But obviously, there's a lot of appetite for people to serve in Congress in that seat. It's about a year away from, the primary. So we have some time to see who's real and who's not in that
situation. You talk about a pocketbook election, but the GOP has struggled to tap into the business community. What's your plan to?
Well, we're going to show them a plan on how we're going to go forward. I mean, we are going to put a business plan together for this party because the Republican Party owes two-party government to the taxpayers of this state. We owe it to them, and we have to go rebuild that. We lost our last bastion in the state Senate. We are going to go fight to get that back, and then the mission critical will be to win the second floor of the Capitol back and prevent Andrew Cuomo from a fourth term. So, I think that the reaction to complete Democrat dominance of the Capitol. I mean, certainly there's donors that are transactional in nature and follow the power, but there's plenty that are crying for the opportunity to get back what they took for granted, which was a two-party government.
You've got a party that has variously put forward as its standard bearer Carl Paladino, many argued like a proto-Trump in 2010, and Mark Molinaro, who I think is... He didn't vote for
the... Is he still over there?
You've still got, both in the Republican Party in New York and nationally, these two wings. So many people associate you with the Paladino side of that. Are we going to see that in future candidate selection and in your choices for the party's base?
I am the head coach and general manager of this team. I am going to recruit the best candidates that we possibly can, develop a winning game plan, and go execute that plan. Politics across the state of New York is very diverse, very regionally different. We have to find the best candidates that can appeal in those areas. In some areas you could be more bombastic and bold in your statements, but that doesn't maybe work in the Hudson Valley, which is a lot more purple, and every race is a coin flip, a place where Mark Molinaro is very popular in Dutchess County. We're going to find the best candidates to win in their areas, and we have to find a candidate that's electable statewide for governor, and that process starts now.
Nick, you mentioned recruitment. How do you plan on getting more women to run under the GOP banner?
I'm very... happy to have a friend in Congresswoman Elise Stefanik, and I really salute the efforts that she's making to find female candidates for Congress. I think that there's been a phony war on women that has been, the label has been put on our party by, very, very well by Democrats. We're going to show by recruiting female candidates. I will make it a priority of my administration as chairman to find more female candidates to run at all levels of government, right on down to town boards, and working with local leaders to prioritize that. But Elise Stefanik has identified already 150 women that she's supporting to run for congressional seats. I mean, the party has to take great efforts to find female candidates, candidates that come from ethnic minorities. I mean, we need a Republican Party that looks like New York State.
Let me just make a statement. The last statewide races, we had the most ethnically diverse and with respect to two women of the four statewide candidates and one African American. That was the most diverse group of candidates we had. And they were all there, not because of their sex or because of their ethnicity, but because they were the best candidates for the job. That's what the Republican Party in New York State is about.
Nick, can a pro-life candidate win a statewide election in New York?
I think so. I really don't think that anyone went to the ballot box and they said, well, I'm not going to vote for Mark Molinaro because he's pro-life. I mean, that was not the issue that drives people. I mean, people are focused on what's going on, you know, with my family. You know, do we feel that we have economic freedom in this state? We don't. And we have to highlight that. And I'm going to go all the way across this state and lock arms with legislative leaders and state legislators, local elected officials, and talk about that and talk about the failings of New York state government. We deserve two-party government. We don't have it now, and we need to fight to get it.
Nick, how do you square that? You just mentioned that you had people come to the Republican Party because of the abortion issue, and then you just mentioned that many people aren't voting on that issue specifically. So
this seems like an extreme, policy. I don't think you've heard anything out of the Republican Party, in New York State where we've been trying to, restrict abortion rights. We already have the most permissive in the country. Right now, you have the absolute most permissive, and it's gone a step too far. Where many Catholic, the ethnic Democrats. I mean, I know when I walk through Wegmans in Buffalo, New York, I've had a lot of people say I've switched my party because my party's left me on that issue. They can't get their head around the fact that you've legalized 9-month abortions.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Because I'm stupid, tell me what mechanically happens. I mean, you're formally installed after a vote of the state committee in July.
Yeah.
We have a 15-day window.
Here. What's going on?
We have a 15-day window post-primary to hold the reorganization meeting. And Chairman Cox has been very kind enough to offer me, help to build a team in a transition.
So are you effectively in charge as of now?
We just work right through a transition, and we have a new leader, which will have the team that he wants, projecting the energy that you just saw, so that the party keeps going forward.
All right, but you formally are going to become the chair in probably early July.
Early July, right, probably first, second week in July.
Thank you very much.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.